The purpose of Wealth Talk is to educate, inform, and hopefully entertain you on the subject of building your wealth. Wealth Builders recommends you should always take independent financial, tax, or legal advice before making any decisions around your finances.
Welcome to episode 127 of Wealth Talk. My name is Christian Rodwell, the Membership Director for Wealth Builders, and I'm joined today by our founder, Mr. Kevin Whelan. Hello, Kevin.
Hello, Chris. Good to be with you again, although not in person today, which I'm disappointed.
No, back on the digital stream today and back on with our member spotlight. So something we enjoy very much every month is inviting one of our members from the Wealth Builders community who has been following our tried and tested process and building their wealth along the way. And this month, we've got founder member Rupert Day. And Rupert's been such a fantastic member since joining us back in May 2019.
A gentleman, a scholar, and overall good egg, I have to say.
He is, and a very, very accomplished film director. In fact, he'll tell us his story, of course, but that was his background, right? It was directing documentaries and films, and he's actually done some work for us as well.
He did, and he actually suggested it. He said, I love what you guys do. Wouldn't it be great to shoot a video? And, you know, we chatted about that for a while, and he was terrific in orchestrating our Wealth Builder video, which is shot in the centre of London, which anybody could check out on our homepage, wealthbuilders.co.uk, with kind of, you know, you in the background and Rupert on camera, fighting our way through a busy London when London was busy. But of course, now it's not so. We could shoot that in a quiet environment now. London is so quiet. I go there pretty much most Fridays, and I was there last week, Chris, and it was like a ghost town.
Really? Even still? So
it still is in London. Crazy. In the city, anyway. Mm. But so we shot that in the city around Bank of England and the bridges and so forth. And we had a wonderful whole day. It took us a whole day, didn't it? And really enjoyed that. And I thought Rupert's work was outstanding. So thank you, Rupert, and I'm glad we've had the opportunity to reciprocate and on your journey as well.
Absolutely. And well, in the usual fashion, we'll walk through our recurring revenue roadmap today with Rupert. So the 9-step process that we teach members of our Wealth Builders Academy so that they can move from a place of financial insecurity to financial independence. And well, we've got lots to cover, so I think we should probably head over and hear from Rupert. Rupert, welcome to Wealth Talk today.
Thank you very much. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, not the first time that you've been with us here on Wealth Talk, Rupert. It was actually back on Wealth Talk episode 25, so almost 100 episodes ago. Well, over 100 episodes ago now, back in July 2019. So you are one of our founder members. So we're going to be hearing all about your journey today, Rupert.
Yeah, I know. It was a bit of a shock when I realised that when I looked through the podcast. I'm thinking, my God, where am I? I'm right down there. And it's really impressive to hit the 100 mark, and so it goes. So great content. Yeah, it's really nice to hear.
Yeah, well, thank you. And you know, I think it's going to be really valuable lessons that you'll be able to share with us today, because it shows the progression and it really emphasizes the fact that wealth building is a journey. It's not something that happens overnight. It's not something that happens in 12 months. And we say that, you know, average person really that we've seen on that journey, it can be done in 5 years. So, you know, you certainly started that journey before you joined us, Rupert, but it's been, you know, at least maybe two and a half years now that you've been part of the community. So let's dive in. We're going to go through our roadmap today, and the recurring revenue roadmap is broken into three stages. Stage one is building your confidence. Stage two is building your knowledge. And stage three is building assets. So step one is mindset. So let's start with the beginning then, Rupert. So can you remember really, was there a trigger or catalyst in your life at any point where you just decided, okay, you know, I need to take control of my own personal finance and my future?
It wasn't sort of an epiphany moment like some I know, but it was a gradual process. And it's really, I suppose, coming out of a career path. And I wasn't a typical sort of corporate worker who worked 9 to 5 and I didn't have any time. Because I was a freelance film director, I had a sort of flexible approach to work. I was always busy and I was always traveling. But I realized that there was an end game that was probably more targeted at and age related, and also just the factor of how the market was changing, how the audience was changing. And there were less big budgets for me to go and do lovely big projects. So I realized that I had to do something else. And my why, I suppose, is very typical with other people is, you know, I've got a family, or two daughters. We decided quite early days that we put them through private school. And that's a big chunk of money and income that you've got to have taxed to decide, let alone all the practicalities of actually just, you know, having a family and doing the things you want to do. So it was driven out of that. And I suppose it was like it was an inverted curve. One curve goes down in terms of income, and as you're tailing down your career, the other one, you've got to have something that takes over and goes in the opposite direction. So it was, the why was I needed to do something, and I didn't know what that was. So I spent literally a couple of years trying to find, an approach to do that. Part of that was education. I was reading quite a lot of books, and I heard Kevin at a Mark Stokes event, and I thought he was quite an interesting individual. And I went back, and he pinged me a free book, which I downloaded and I read. And then at the back of that, I was reading Rich Dad Poor Dad as well, another sort of seminal book. And the light started to ping on my brain, really thinking, oh, okay, that's what I need to do. So I had a sort of an inkling of what I needed to do. It's just a question of finding out how to do it.
Good. And then I guess obviously you caught wind of the fact we were launching, you know, the Wealth Builders membership program, and I guess the timing and the interest was there.
It was. I think the interesting thing that struck me, the membership program is like all these things. I think you mentioned before, there's a lot of people that bombard you with educational press, especially now. And I think you have to be very careful of how you analyze them. And it's very easy to tick in the box and go, okay, it's another subscription model. They end up sort of having different value systems, really. So with this, the one thing that struck me with Kevin is, struck in my mind, was the 5% of the population. That's all that's sort of engaged with creating, say, SAS pension funds and actually looking after their own finances. It's really poor, but I thought that was a really interesting point. And then obviously with the roadmap, I thought it was a really good way, breaking it down, to go, okay, you know, it's a great analysis tool, and then you can see where you're going to go. So why not? So I ticked the box, you know, paid the money, and I thought, well, it's not much to lose. Let's see how it goes. And been there ever since.
2.5 years later, here we are. So great. Well, that's fantastic. Good start there, Rupert. So step two is foundation. So this is really about getting crystal clear on how much asset income you're currently generating and how much you need in order to reach that next wealth level, whether that be security, independence. So can you remember, Rupert, which of the five levels were you at when you joined, and where are you now?
Well, sad to say, I was in insecurity when I joined, because we had a fair amount of outgoings, and I had actually done some property deals before, and I had a fair amount of asset, but we were using savings to pay for school fees and things. So in reality, when I sat down and looked at the level of security, and you see it in black and white, it's quite shocking in a way. I'm thinking, okay, it says I'm in insecurity. I don't really feel like it, but that's what it says. So that's what I must be. And so it's only one way's up. it was another good way of going, okay, we've got to trust our systems and trust what we're doing. And from there, we've built our assets. At the moment, we are at we're at security. And I think we will be with our planned projects at the moment, will be in independence early next year. And I think my goal is to be abundant, I think probably two or three years time.
That's fantastic. No, well done. That's really, really great progress. And just another element of step two foundation is the debits process. So we encourage all of our members once a year just to review all of their outgoings and see if there's any savings there. Was that a process that you went through at the time, Rupert?
It was. And interestingly enough, I'm pretty good at managing our finances and We're pretty careful what we do and what we sign up to. But even then, it was, okay, well, I'll go through the process. And I found probably, I don't know, £200-£300 a month savings. And out of nowhere, really. So it was quite good just to think, to go back and analyze and just, and I'm sure everyone can find something. So.
Yeah. Now, the key question is, what did you do with those savings, Rupert? Did you put those into some wealth-building activities?
Probably not. I probably went out for a nice meal for the first month. Well, I suppose it does, because everything builds. We're in a process of actually building a company and building projects. So what we do is we just reinvest all the time. And because, obviously, if you're when you haven't got a lot of other extra income, you just reinvest it. And that's the great thing about having a sort of plan forward, is that, yeah, it might not be as good at the time, but obviously well-invested, building assets, it'll reach fruition and you'll have the benefits.
Most definitely. Okay, that's great. So step three is the final step in our foundational stage. So this is what we call the roof. And you'll be very familiar with the roof, Rupert. And were you able to review each aspect of your protection to ensure that everything was in place for you and your family?
Yeah, it was another good tick in the box. I actually had a pretty good sort of roof when I joined Wealth Builders. I'd done some LPAs for my parents and through that process learned about them, and we'd done them ourselves and they were just going through. We'd also done the same with a will process, although they were quite simple. So actually, at the moment, I'm just going through that process and structuring them with some trusts and making them more secure and building. You know, it is about legacy building. And we also set up our company with our daughters as non-voting shareholders as well. So covering that roof, yeah, I think we were pretty good. And always aware that you have to have that sort of that rainproof cover.
Yeah, and that gives you, you know, a certain confidence and peace of mind to know that that's in place, right?
Certainly, it certainly does. And I think, again, I'm astonished by the amount of people that never get around to it or going to get around to it and never do it. And so, yeah.
Good. Okay, moving into stage two, and step four is assets. So we know there's seven different assets, which we refer to as pillars, where you can build your wealth. Which did you already have in place, Rupert, when you joined, and what other pillars have you been able to utilize since?
It always interests me with Wealth Builders on the amount of pillars, and I sort of looked at them and went, oh, I wish I had. I know some people have got all sort of seven of them, and so it's like a sort of competition, really, I suppose. I can keep my with myself. I have done most of them, and when I look back, I have done sort of invested in businesses through EIS schemes, and on startups. Most of those failed, but it's been an interesting process. At the moment, I have got my main pillar is property, but we've also got a SaaS, so we've started investing through our SaaS, which was great. I didn't have that when I first joined Wealth Builders. We've sent some money out on loan from our SaaS, and I've just opened a interactive an account for trading through the SaaS, which is taking a bit of time, taking like 6 months. Spreading through it, really. We obviously invest in our own business. Haven't written a book yet, but I've been promised that I might write a book.
Right. And what about joint venture pillar?
Joint ventures? I haven't done any joint ventures. We've been actually approached about joint ventures, but I haven't done it as yet. It'll certainly be something we will be doing, but the time's got to be right and the project's got to be right. And it's about building trust and building trust with the people that you want to do business with, rather than jumping into it.
Indeed. And I know you follow some of the processes we teach around joint ventures, creating your investor document, which we call the 10 Pillars of Trust. And that's a lovely looking document, as we would expect from you, Rupert. So moving into step five, then leverage. So we're right in the heart of the roadmap now. And leverage, we know, is key. to wealth building. And it isn't necessarily always about financial leverage. It could be your intellectual leverage, relationships, systems, or just good leverage of your time. So can you provide us with any examples of how you've brought leverage into play to help you build your wealth, Rupert?
I think one of the key things is leveraging other people's expertise. And I think that is a really, really good driver in creating momentum and through it creating asset income. The franchise that I joined to do with the property pillar, that gave us a great deal of leverage in terms of a network, knowledge. We've been leveraging, obviously, our money. We are leveraging other people's money because we're actually have some loans that we've actually managed to secure for this project, and we're leveraging our time, systemizing our business as well, which we're in the process of doing. So we've got some VAs from the Philippines, so we're leveraging our time through that method and systemizing that. So It's a whole basket of leverage, really.
Yeah, great examples there. Yeah. Okay, so now we're into step six, which is your strategy. So you've said your primary pillar is property. So there are many, many strategies we know within each of the pillars. So what's been your primary wealth building strategy and what other strategies are you also now looking at?
Well, the primary one is HMOs. We have been in property a fair time. I say we because my wife is in our company, and we very much work together as a partnership. We've done sort of buy-to-lets in the past, and we've done some good refurbishments and quite a big development in London, which gave us some great seed capital. And we actually, through the process I was describing before of actually trying to analyse what you do and where your strengths and weaknesses are, and something that's going to create good asset income. HMOs did tick those boxes. And through learning about other people's, a friend of mine who is doing it very successfully, I basically followed his methodology and joined a franchise. A very good system of just putting me in the right place with the right knowledge and the right skill set and the right backup to do it properly right from the word go, so you're not making any mistakes and you're not wasting any money. That's proved very successful. The second pillar really is as Paul, I think, would describe, Paul Ambrose, as lumpy money, which is the capital projects, and those are on the side to our asset income. And that's the great thing about property, that you can actually follow different directions for different outcomes.
Yeah, and we were just chatting before we started recording here, and I was asking you, you know, how did you fare during the COVID period with, tenants moving out and things like that? And because of your solid strategy there, you told me that, you know, you hadn't been affected too much.
No, we were all concerned about it, obviously. I know from quite a few colleagues that it depends on the area you're in. I have some colleagues with houses near Heathrow Airport and Gatwick, and they had an amazing fall off. We were fortunate. It does have an indication, go back to what the process you follow and the quality of what you produce. And fortunately, our tenants, because there isn't a great deal of competition, certainly what we produce is tenants are quite reluctant to leave our houses. So the only effect we had was actually a couple of people that went back to their parents, but they didn't move out of their rooms. So I was looking at our figures for on the tenants that were with us, and I think we went from 99 down to 97% occupancy, and we're back up at 99%. So we're pretty happy with that. And also, just it was also giving something back. I mean, we supported our cleaners, even though we weren't cleaning our houses through COVID, because it was part of the process of trying to get a group of people together that, one, our tenants, obviously, that we actually look after very much going forward, and also the people that you gain around you to also look after, your VAs and your cleaners, and to make sure that they're looked after. So it becomes a bit of a family, really.
Yeah, and you'd like to think you get that respect back, right, from them in terms of looking after the properties and, you know, being good tenants as well for you.
It is. I know landlords take different approaches. A lot of HOs is all about asset income. It's all about the money. It's not about the money with us. It is partly, but we're actually creating really nice products and creating good communities where people actually thrive, and you get a great deal of pleasure from the sheer fact that you're enabling people who are in sometimes quite difficult circumstances or in the start of their careers or trying to find themselves a nice place to live. And we've built some great communities, and it's not just about the money.
Yeah, some good values being demonstrated there. And we've seen your properties, Rupert. They do look absolutely fantastic. So well done on that. Moving into step seven now. So we're on stage three. This is all about building assets. And step seven is the Wheel of Wealth. So once someone has chosen a strategy, the key is to follow the Wheel of Wealth. And that means education, support, connections, due diligence, and then taking guided action. So this is where our wealth coaches are there every month to help you stay laser focused and turn the wheel. So what benefits have you gained, Rupert, from following this process and having that accountability from your coach?
I must say, coming out of a sort of career where I've always been sort of fairly very driven and very focused, and sort of, you know, you have to be sort of determined and tenacious, being a film director, and because the buck stops with you on all the big projects. And it's only really from coming out of that career and not being in a sort of normal corporate sort of structure that I've realized the value of coaching. And I probably came to it very late. And the one thing that really struck me was when I realized that quite wealthy, sort of famous people also had coaches. And I never really realized that. And I thought, wow, that's really interesting. Why would they need a coach? And I think it really just goes down to remaining focused on your vision. And it's maybe the subtle things that coaches can give you, or maybe it's just a bit of guidance, or even just a bit of a pat on the back, or even just to check where you are. And so it's absolutely invaluable. And last year I had two coaches. I had my Bronwyn, who I knew before I actually joined Wealth Builders. And she's been great. She's very much in the property area that we are. And therefore you can talk to her about specifics. And also we have a good chat, and she's very interested in what we're doing, and just says, most of the time she says, great, just carry on. Sometimes I've asked her specific things, but it's been, I can't overemphasize, I think, how important coaches are. And I think if people aren't engaged, they really should engage and find a coach that really suits them. And I think it's down to personalities.
No, great words there. And just to pull out another aspect of the Wheel of Wealth, which is connections. So how have you found the connections within the Wealth Builders community, be that, you know, your peers in the program, but also other professional connections along the way?
Again, I think the power of the network is your net worth. I think it's a very good statement. I sort of dip in and out of Wealth Builders. I know some people are very, very engaged with it. I'm not as engaged in some, but I do follow it, you know, sporadically, I suppose. What I do have is a good buddy group, and we chat on a monthly basis, sometimes more, and it's always a really good informative and very invaluable, actually. It's been great. It's been really good to sort of engage with them. So that's great. It's always, you know, I dip into the Facebook group and hear what people's going on, and half the time I'm going, oh my God, you know, everyone's doing a lot better than I am. But that's the power of the internet. And when you break it down and thinking, actually, I'm not doing too badly. That's good. So I think it's great. I think that, you know, community sort of hopefully just pulls you forward. And I know you just mentioned before our chat that, you know, some people do find it very difficult initially to realize it. Are they gaining any momentum in that first 6 months, first year of being there? And sometimes you don't realize what you're getting out of a situation, out of a network. And sometimes it's a bit more subliminal. but it's part of your growth. And I think, you know, coaches and being in part of a network is fantastic.
Yeah, you have to give it time, don't you? You can't expect miracles immediately. And, you know, we see that a lot. You know, the first 12 months is foundational. Sometimes it's just getting clear on the plan. It's perhaps trying one or two things and they might not work first time, but year two, year three, year four, that's really when you're going to see that momentum building. I think you hopefully would agree with that.
It's about molding, it's about being molded by a system, I suppose, and a plan and an action plan, but also just trying to find yourself and how you react to certain things and what you like and what you don't like and what you're good at and what you're not good at. And I think, you know, the more you learn, it's all about education. And I think, you know, guidance as well is incredibly important. But yeah, you've got to educate yourself. I think it's important.
Stage one of the Wheel of Wealth. Absolutely. So let's move into step eight then. This is results. So let's, you know, look at some numbers. We encourage all of our members to track their progress every 30 days using the wealth chart and by completing our monthly progress report. So you've had a good few months recently, Rupert. So what did you do? And, you know, how much additional recurring income either have you added or are you about to add to your thermometer?
Well, with a property, it does go in cycles. You have a months where nothing really happens and you're pounding away, and then sometimes, and then obviously it reaches fruition hopefully, and then you get it tenanted, and then suddenly your thermometer edges up a little bit more. And the one thing about doing the 30-day reports is you get to the end, you go, well, what did you increase your income by? And you go, well, nothing. And the months go by and you go, oh, bugger, you know, it'll happen soon. And so it is like taking a step, the next step up, the next step up. And we've gone from, as I said, sort of insecurity when we first started. We probably have had about, you know, £4,500, I suppose, income. Generally, we've gone up to about sort of £6,500. And then I think next year it'll probably just short of 10 so per month, which is good. Yeah.
And that's, as you say, that should be taking you near enough to your independence figure. And that's an amazing achievement, you know, the 5%, Rupert.
It is the 5%, yeah. And yeah, let's get some more people signed up.
Let's turn those wheels a little bit faster. Okay, great. So step nine, final step in the recurring revenue roadmap is accelerate. So this is really repeating that process of choosing your pillar, choosing a strategy, and then finding your points of leverage. And you will move towards a place of financial independence if you just follow that process. Now, for most people, the journey from financial insecurity to financial independence will take on average about 5 years. So what do you see as being key to helping you continue to stay focused and take those necessary steps to reach your own financial goals, Rupert?
It does take time. I think it probably has taken five. It probably will take about 5 years, maybe slightly longer, from the starting point. And I think the thing is to keep learning and stay humble, really, and stay true to yourself. I mean, we're building a sort of an ethical brand and how we do business. And I think when you develop a new strategy or a new business and you find a formulate a new way of working in a new area, it's important to believe in what you're doing, and build relationships with people and trust what you're doing. The repeat process is, yes, the great thing about if you do have a niche, or our niche is HMOs, we started at quite a high level. You can repeat those, obviously, and it's really depending on finding your area and being smart about how you build your business and not just piling into an area which looks good at the time. But you've got to have a long-term vision and a long-term goal, and always, always have a plan B and a plan C.
Good words to leave us on there, Rupert. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us today. Congratulations and well done. We're looking forward to continuing to support you and ring that bell when you hit that independence figure. So thank you again. Okay, fantastic. Hearing from Rupert there, and like so many, was, you know, in an industry that's changing, and you know, had children, young children, the costs involved with them, of course, and he knew he needed to do something. So that kicked off his education, and you know, the rest was history from there. So lots of lessons to dig into. Before we do that, Kevin, let's roll over to Trustpilot, have a look through the latest reviews. And I really like this one, actually. It's coming from Erica this week. And Erica says, "Hi, everyone. Just a quick post to say how grateful we are to have found this community. We were already retired early thanks to our pensions when we met Kevin Whelan. Since then, we've embarked on this new wealth building adventure, joining the Academy in July. Our primary pillar is property, and SaaS is definitely a future goal. In the meantime, we took the opportunity to review our existing SIP pension arrangements. A straightforward review with IFA, Andy, has delivered stunning results, an annual saving in charges of £15,000 for just a couple of hours of our time. That's a significant additional compound fund growth just by changing provider in line with our existing objectives and risk profile. Absolutely brilliant. Confirmation that there are multiple levers to be pulled and the best confidence booster onwards and upwards."
Wow, what about that one?
I love that.
Well, you know, we talk about in wealth building that you've got the accelerator and the brake and there are no neutrals. The accelerator is building your own capability, your confidence, and your ability to add more value. And that's great. But when you've got a pension, as Erica was mentioned there, which is a SIP, which is basically a personal pension with a few extra whistles, but those whistles for her were expensive in the context of all she was holding was stock market. And when you understand that technology can drive the cost of running money down, and we're able to bring that through our connection, who's a qualified IFA, then those savings are massive. And she's right. You know, you compound that over time, or even if you just took it in 1 year, that's £1,250 more money per month. You know, that's a huge sum of money, 15,000. So I'm glad we were able to bring that. And I'm sure we'll be able to do even better as we get to know Erica and what she's planning to do. As she says, she's going to pull more levers. And it's interesting that, you know, Rupert's been pulling many levers as well.
Yes, as well. So I'll just mention quickly, obviously, Erica's in our academy, so is Rupert. So, you know, if you're looking for support, you're looking for help, you're looking for a community, do go and check out what we offer inside the Wealth Builders Academy. And you can do that by heading to wealthbuilders.co.uk/academy. So yes, as you said, Kevin, Rupert has been pulling levers. And I guess coming back to the beginning, which is, you know, education, it's the first step in the wheel of wealth. We know that. And for Rupert, he mentioned rich dad, poor dad. That is often light bulb moment for so many people. And then, of course, that led to meeting you, Kevin. And the 5%, that really connected with him.
Well, it's an interesting number, isn't it? I mean, we were doing some research just the other day when you, me and Neil Moggan, co-creator with us of the Families Wealth Builder Program for Families. And we were just double-checking what the national stats are for the average value of pensions in the UK. And we were shocked, weren't we, and stunned at how low these values are. And therefore, it's so important that, you know, you get on and make as many new connections as possible, and you educate yourself well to take responsibility for your own journey, because so few people are doing that. And Rupert wanted to be part of the 5%, not the 95% who don't make it. And wow, most people don't make it big style. You know, they're not just short of independence, they're way, way short of security as well. So it's a shocking realization how few people actually make it. Yet we know there's a tried and trusted process to do it. And on average, it takes about 5 years. And on average, it takes about a day a month. And you don't have to have loads of money, because we have so many ways to create money, which we mentioned throughout the program, Chris, from debits to a little bit on the side to understanding the power of leverage and how you can borrow assets from other people, how you can create value with other people. There's so many things you can do. And Rupert was very clear, him and Kate, as to what they wanted to do, and they squarely nailed their thoughts on the HMO, which is that sort of young professional, high quality, young market, where I'm so impressed with how he's just kind of really weathered that COVID storm with that strength of community and looking after his team. I mean, how impressive was that?
Yeah, certainly was. And, you know, systemizing now the business with the use of VAs, which is really smart. He talks about leveraging, obviously, his own money, but also other people's money. That led on to joint ventures. He's been doing some loans, and we know he's created his 10 pillars of trust document, which we've helped with. And that's, you know, going to help Rupert and Kate become more investable now and raise funds in the future, which we know for all property people, right, the funds run out at some stage.
Well, exactly right. And that's just resourcefulness. There's no lack of resources. It's just how do you harness your own resources and tell your story in a better way. And we're a story-linked world, really. We live our life through the lens of stories we tell ourselves, really come from social media and the press and everywhere else. But they've created their own story to tell to other people. And I think many investors who are looking for something better to do will gravitate to people who have a great story to tell and a great journey to go on, and they want to join them on that journey, even if it's a few steps behind.
Yeah. And, you know, let's focus on those results. I mean, Rupert shared some numbers there, you know, starting off at insecurity, now very much firmly at security, and moving to independence early next year, that will be around about the 10,000 month mark. He also said it's probably taken on reflection around about 5 years, which is what we say, you know, if you're focused, you're committed, you've got a clear plan, you've got the right support, it's absolutely achievable.
Well, absolutely. And I think the other point about Rupert is, as a professional himself, he's realized the importance of the value and the contribution and the intellectual shortcuts that can be taken by having good people around you who, yes, you pay, you know, you're paying for coaching, or you're paying for guidance of some kind or expertise of some kind, but having that expertise doesn't put a siphon in your life. It actually empowers your life so that you can create recurring income forever for a small amount of time that you dedicate to somebody else who shows you the way. So a fair play to Rupert, fair play to Kate, whatever they're doing. You know, I'm so pleased he's member of the month, rightly deserved. And I very much hope that our relationship will go from strength to strength.
Yeah, I'm sure it will do. And if, as I said earlier, you would like to join Rupert, Erica, and all of our other members inside the Wealth Builders community, we've got the free community, of course, where you're more than welcome to join. Head over to wealthbuilders.co.uk/membership. And if you'd like to find out more about the academy, wealthbuilders.co.uk/academy. Mm-hmm. So we hope you enjoyed listening to Rupert's story today. And Kevin, we'll catch up same time, same place next week.
Yes, until then, my friend. See ya.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Don't forget that we are constantly updating our resources inside the Wealth Builders membership site to help you create, build, and protect your wealth. Head over to wealthbuilders.co.uk/membership right now for free access. That's wealthbuilders.co.uk/membership.